Hello, and welcome to the E3 2013 edition of the Mighty Electronic Box, or at least press conference edition. I'm here with Joe. Say hello, Joe.
Hello.
And hopefully John will turn up at some point. If not, we have pre-recorded comments from
yes.
him about the events of the last day. So we're recording this, less than 24 hours after the press conferences have all ended. I haven't been keeping up with what's actually happened on the show floor today, but the day's probably only just started, really, in America. But I know I stayed up all of last night watching all the press conferences, except for EA, because on the Giant Bomb thread, they got the time wrong for GMT, and I missed it, because I believed them. It's fucking stupid. Why did I believe them? Should have looked it up somewhere else. But yeah, I've seen all of them. You've caught up with the news the best you could.
Yeah, pretty much the, like, games I'm interested in, PS4 shit, and stuff that's kind of trickled down into basically comments. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as I can.
So the plan for this podcast is we're just going to run through more or less what the press conferences entailed and talk about what we think that means and what we think's good and what we think's bad. So I guess the place to start would be with Microsoft's press conference. And they kicked off the show. I think it was kind of telling that they had gotten all this shit out of the way at their, you know, their pre-E3 event. Because, you know, people were saying, oh, they're going to actually show games at this thing. They did actually a pretty good job of showing wall-to-wall games. Like, that press conference started with games and ended with games.
Yeah.
And most of the middle was games. They barely talked about all that TV crap and all the other stuff you don't really want to hear. So good on them for having a, you know, a more gamer-focused conference. I think they did good job at least winning back some of the people who were turned off by the fact all they talked about was television last time. they opened up with Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer.
Sweet.
Which was cool. I am not a massive Metal Gear Solid fan, so it didn't mean too much to me, but it looked suitably crazy, and that happened. I believe that's coming out multi-platform, though, so it was kind of a weird thing for them to open on.
Yeah, I don't know about Metal Gear. I mean, I really like Metal Gear Solid, but I know John has said similar sort of things. On the other hand, I really like the way 4 ended until it decided to drag on its ending. But you know, I'm always kind of open to more crazy Metal Gearness. So I mean, you know, I won't count them out just yet.
Yeah. From there, they went on to announce the new Xbox 360 that people have been talking about for a long time, the new slim Xbox 360, which has brought it more in line with the aesthetics that they're going for with the new Xbox One. That thing, apparently, I haven't sourced this, so I don't know if it's actually true, but apparently they're selling that thing for like more or less the same price that they're currently selling 360s at now, so I don't really see the point of it.
Did they actually show the system itself?
Yeah, they showed pictures of it. I don't have any to hand, so you're going to have to Google
it. Yeah, I'm Googling it right now.
It should just be called New Xbox 360.
I'm trying, but there's a load of like what is obviously, you know, like fan bullshit. One of which actually looks pretty damn awesome, but I don't think it's that.
The thing was black and looked a lot like...
Okay, I think I found it, yeah.
Here we go. It's got a Kinect in front of it, if you've seen it. It's like half shiny and half matte, much like the...
Oh, yeah. I'm fairly certain I've seen it. Yeah. That looks like shit.
it doesn't look that small, but I guess it must be. Otherwise,
The PS4 is like that, isn't it? The PS4's got like a gloss third and like a matte.
Yeah. Yeah, the PS4, the Xbox One, and the new Xbox 360 all seem to be going for this. We couldn't decide whether we were going to make it gloss or matte
but
this time. So
I've
got
to say, the PS4, I think, actually looks pretty good. Like, they seem to have... They have struck the right amount of balance of gloss and not gloss.
No. The PS4 does look pretty cool, actually.
I like the way the PS4 looks. Not to jump ahead, but yeah.
Not to jump ahead.
I definitely like the way it looks.
It looks less...
It looks like a Transformer. I'm really expecting that to, like, open up. Like, you know, it's kind of, like, got, like, the top...
Are you saying you want a spindle?
Like, the top bit? Yes, yes. Oh, my God, exactly.
I've already seen the disc drive. There's no spindle.
Oh,
it just absorbs discs.
Okay,
like,
so the PS4 yes. Slim, right, is going to open up, and you're going to have a spindle. I'm calling
it. Like, the whole top of it, you slide it to one side, and it, like, clips off, and then you just lift the top of it off.
No, you press a button, and it just, like, builds out of itself, and then you just put the disc in the spindle, and you press another button, and then it like builds back into itself, and it closes.
All right, that sounds a bit excessive.
It'd be fucking awesome, though.
Just saying. Anyway, on top of that, they've announced some Xbox 360 games. In fact, one of them... So you know there were rumors of them saying that League of Legends was going to come to the 360.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up with World of Tanks is going to be coming to the 360.
Cool.
Do you know anything about World of Tanks?
I've heard about it. I haven't. I can't necessarily say what I've heard is great, but I have heard of it.
It's actually quite popular in like the esports scene, or at least it is in like Russia and China.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure what the validity of it is on a 360. So whatever. But that happened. So you know. So the first Xbox One game they actually opened up with was the Crytek game Rise that was shown like 2 years ago now, I think. 1 or 2 years ago as a Kinect game. Do you remember that?
No, not really, to be honest.
It was like a... It was set in Rome. It was like... there was just like an animated trailer. There was no gameplay before. And it was just set in Rome and like a camera flew down, went through the streets, and there was dudes stabbing people in the streets. And this demo that they had in their press conference... looked pretty, like the very shiny, reflection-y, you know, all the armor looked really nice, and it went like kind of seamlessly like, oh man, this looks like a pre-rendered cutscene, and then it kind of just went into gameplay, kind of like some of the God of War stuff is done on PlayStation 3 and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was weird. The combat didn't look particularly compelling. The whole thing, it was kind of very similar to Assassin's Creed combat, like dudes kind of line up around you and wait until you hit them.
Yeah, I've said it before, I really don't think what the combat is in Assassin's Creed actually counts as combat.
Yeah, it looked a little like that, but not entirely. And the weird thing is, it had the kind of quick time events you'd expect from God of War as well. So, like, you'd kind of hit dudes a few times, and it'd pop up with B above the dude, and B was like the start quick time button. And then it would come up with button prompts like Y and X, and Y would be, I don't know, kick him into a wall, or kick him off a cliff, or stab him in the knees.
Yeah.
And X always seemed to be the stab him in the face button, regardless of when it came up.
Okay.
Anytime X came up, it will stab him through the face or neck, was pretty much what happened. So yeah, that was interesting. You could do the like Tortuga thing, you know, the turtle formation to shield from arrows and move forward.
Oh, cool. This.
I don't know if that was using Kinect to shout voice commands, because there were voice commands kind of like things going on. And it also had the Gears of War style hold left bumper to stare at this cinematic thing that's happening over there whilst you continue to play the game. You know,
I always found that really, really superfluous in Gears of War.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what was wrong with just turning, like, to look at it yourself? Like, do we really need a turn your head button? It's a bit,
just in case you don't know where the cool thing to look at is, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
So that was third person.
So it's for dumbasses, is what you're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah. That looked okay. I don't know. Moving on. Battlefield 4 got shown.
I have seen some Battlefield 4 stuff. I did manage to see some.
I think they showed single player in the... Oh yeah, it was a single player trailer. They started playing the trailer and the audio crapped out like completely. And they were kind of... The guy who was presenting it was like, I guess you'll see it later, started to walk off the stage, and then he was like, oh, we're still showing it, and then came back on the stage, which is kind of awkward. It's kind of a running theme of this E3 was technical problems, because Sony had a huge fuck-up during a couple of their presentations.
Yeah.
But Battlefield 4 trailer looked fine. It looked really pretty. It looked kind of like Battlefield 3 on max graphics running on a PC. So but I don't know whether that was...
on a console.
Weirdly, one of the Battlefield 4 demos definitely had... press backspace in the top right corner for the whole thing, so it may have been running on a PC rather than a console.
Yeah.
So who knows what's up with that. Capcom announced Dead Rising 3, which is...
Oh, I saw that. That's a Dead Rising Xbox game. Exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do you like Dead Rising, then?
I like it, but...
not enough.
I do like it, but I don't like it that much. And honestly, like, Dead Rising 2 off the record, which was like the PS3, I'm sorry we made the 360 version a pile of shit, which the subtitle unfortunately didn't make it onto the box. like, if you want, like, that's easily the best Dead Rising game, and it's weird, but it is one of those games where, like, the broken kind of clunkiness of it is part of its charm.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, I don't really want them to like fix that, if that makes sense. I don't know, like it's one of those like It's one of those series that seems to have that like old style of design. Like, this is kind of broken, but we've given you more than enough cheap shit to make yourself more broken so you can actually deal with this shit.
Yeah.
Not to get off topic, but like the complaint that always annoys me about Dead Rising is that like it's impossible to complete those games on your first run. Like, yeah. You pretty much have to play halfway through them and reset, and it's like, no, if you suck at games, that's what you do. Like, those games are not that hard. But anyway, that's Dead Rising. I won't be surprised if that comes to the other consoles anyway. I mean, Dead Rising 1 was a 360 exclusive, but then 2 was multi-platform, so, I mean...
Something might happen with that, you're right.
You never know. Capcom likes Monet. They do.
It looks a bit more serious.
No, that's terrible. What are you doing? No.
Well, not serious in, like, you can still strap a sledgehammer to a chainsaw, but it's not all, like, you know, bright and vibrant, and wasn't set in a shopping mall.
Whatever. I mean, it's Dead
you
Rising.
You can call in airstrikes using your phone.
That's cool. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, if you smart glass with that, you can totally do that, which seemed interesting. I
like the sound of that.
I don't know why every single weapon the guy got in the trailer, he at some point just lobbed it. Like, yeah. Regardless of the fact there were 50 zombies, like, on screen there were a lot of fucking zombies, I'm not going to lie. And there were just times during the trailer, he was like, during the demo, he would just, you know, he's got a weapon, it's his only really weapon that he's got left. He just lobs it, and he's like, great, now I've got no weapon. It looked cool, though. There was one time he lobbed a chainsaw strapped to a sledgehammer, and it chopped a zombie square in half.
That's pretty cool. I hope they can fix the technical shit, though, because I know in Dead Rising 2, like, you could have... It was weird, really, because they actually sort of downgraded in terms of tech, it seems. Like, in Dead Rising 1, there was a ton of zombies on screen, and it was great.
Mm.
But in the second one, whenever there was, like, a huge, huge amount of zombies, like, the frame rate just fucking killed itself. Like, it couldn't handle it.
There were a lot of zombies, and it was all outdoors and big open environments, and
that's
the frame
cool.
rate was pretty solid to me.
If they can,
assuming that was running on an actual Xbox One, yeah. It was rock solid.
If they can keep that stuff, that's cool, because that was one thing that, like, it was very, very weird to go from Dead Rising 1 to 2, and, like, 2 be technically clunkier, if that makes sense. But I think that was fixed in Off the Record, though, if I'm correctly. I don't remember that having as terrible frame rate. So,
following that, there was a more cars. In case you like cars, Forza Motorsport 5 got its first showing. They brought a McLaren out of the floor. One of two, only like two of these McLarens that are in the world. Crazy expensive car, and then. God, this demo. Oh my God, it was the weirdest thing. So they started talking about how, I'm not even sure how to describe this. You have a drivatar, like drivatar is a new word now.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, drivatar is a word.
That's a little depressing.
The thing they were talking about is the whole, you know, the server cloud stuff that's going to be in the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's going to look at the way that you drive and then study the way you drive and then... So when you go to play against computers, you can play against computers that are meant to like represent your friends and family who you have on Xbox Live. And so the computer, they said they've got rid of AI. They don't have AI anymore. And now the computers will drive like your family do, learning from like real life mistakes and stuff. And as soon as he said that, a car crashed into another car and started doing flips and shit in the game. It was like, we've gotten rid of AI. We have something better than AI. The AI now drives like it was a real person. And then they immediately crashed. On screen, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
So I don't know what all of that marketing mumbo jumbo is, but it sounded really stupid.
Mumbo jumbo sounds like a pretty good,
pretty
good description.
It looks like a racing game, like a pretty racing game, and it still looks like a good Forza. So if you're into Forza, you can get that on the Xbox One. Following on from that, Respawn Entertainment came out and showed off the first footage of Titanfall.
Which... Oh, I haven't got a chance to see that yet.
You should definitely go watch that. It looks pretty cool. The crux of Titanfall is the whole, you know, you have a mech with you at all times. So you can either be in your mech or on the, on your feet running around normally as a dude. And you'd kind of think, well, why wouldn't I just be in the mech all the time? It's a fucking giant mech. And there's obviously the things of like, you're easier to spot if you're in a mech. But also what I thought was really cool is there's kind of a free running type aspect to it whilst you're on foot.
Yeah.
So whilst you're on foot, you can like vault walls, you can leap over gaps, you can... There was one point where he jumped onto a billboard and then like wall ran across the billboard and then sprung off onto a building.
Is it first person?
Yeah, it's a first person thing. I think. Yeah, it is first person. Because when your mech comes, like if you want to get in your mech comes, grabs you in its hand, and then puts you inside its belly. And then you're controlling the mech. And like the images like fold in from the side of the screen. It actually looks kind of really cool. And from there, you can, you know, shoot dudes with guns and shit. But it's not like a slow mech. It's much more like Hawken. You know, you've got jetpacks. You can boost from side to side. You can fly a bit and run around really fast in the mech.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely makes you a big target. There was one point in one of the trailers, I think it was actually from the EA press conference, where a dude ejected from his mech and then parachuted down onto the roof of someone else's mech, ripped the top open and shot the shit out of it, and then jumped off of it and it exploded. So there's kind of a lot of cool traversal mechanics going on, and it looked much like the maps seemed confined enough to be fast-paced like a Call of Duty shooter, but also much larger than that because of, you know, the size of the mechs that you kind of have to deal with. So it kind of had a more Battlefield vibe to it, but it seemed really tight, so that looks kind of promising. I'd definitely recommend checking out the trailer if you want to see what that's about.
I'll definitely be interested in seeing that.
Yeah. It looks very promising, and I do hope it catches on, because, God, I'm bored of Call of Duty-like shooters, and at least this looks like something different, even if it's in that
place. I played a Call of Duty-like shooter since... what was the last Call of Duty I played? I think it was Modern Warfare 3.
I haven't even played Modern Warfare 3.
And I can't really remember much about that.
I'm just tired of every game trying to, you know, ape that format, and I'd...
I think that's gone far enough that, yeah, I'd say that I think that's gone far enough that hopefully we'll start to see like people accept that, you know, no, Call of Duty is its own thing, and it's just, you know, just leave it alone, like just let it do its thing and do your own shit.
Interesting. I'm going to talk about this later when we get to the Sony press conference, but it's interesting to see what Bungie's doing, because I kind of think where they're going might be more like what the future of shooters really needs, the kind of direction the shooters need to be going in. Because Titanfall's very much still focused on the competitive multiplayer kind of thing. I think it's actually wholly competitive multiplayer, but they're trying to interweave some sort of narrative into it. So, yeah. Like, before you drop into a match, you'll be on a dropship, and there's, like, an NPC character giving you a briefing and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't know how that's going to weave into it, but they're trying to make it more, like, personalized and story-based, the multiplayer. But I'm pretty sure it's a solely multiplayer-focused game. I doubt there'll be much in the way of single-player.
Yeah, that's, and, like, solely-focused multiplayer games, I think... I still think they're kind of weird, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, unless, I mean, you could argue that, like, you know, fighting games are solely multiplayer-focused, but... You know, I mean, they're a very kind of singular focused game, you know, whereas a shooter is, you know, obviously got a lot more potential for single player, so.
Yeah. But. Anyway, graphics-wise, it didn't look too hot. It looked nice, but there are much nicer games I've seen running on next-gen software, like Battlefield probably looked better, Rise probably looked better.
Yeah.
Some other stuff I got into.
Was this on their own engine, or have they, like, you know,
They didn't say
that. Oh, okay. I was going to say, because surely that's a pretty daunting task.
Yeah.
I mean,
it didn't look bad. It was just like the artistic direction was quite murky. It was quite a lot of, you know, your browns, and it was nothing too exciting about its look.
We need more brown games, man. Brown games have been shunned.
Brown games are now the new black. What?
We need more. I don't even know where we're going with this.
Anyway, new Halo coming out 2014. Surprise, surprise, Halo 5. They didn't show anything except for the fact, yo, giant bird.
So much for a new Halo game every year.
Giant bird.
Oh, that reminds me.
Did you see the giant bird?
I haven't seen it yet, but is there a Halo game coming out this year?
Is a dual joystick shooter coming out on tablets.
Okay. but the next Halo is next gen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I know, like, I think pretty much all of us did, but yeah. We called that. We called that.
Yeah.
Fuck all of you. It was like, oh, it's going to be 3... No, it fucking isn't. Whoever believed that was going to be 360, you're a fucking moron.
All right, yeah, then. Yeah, they didn't really show a lot. It was like, it actually looked like Respawn's game, because it was all set in, like, the kind of desert-y environment kind of stuff that Respawn have been showing, and then this fucking like sphere-like thing came out of the ground. Sorry, not Respawn, Bungie's new game. And the sphere-like thing came out of the ground, and then it just opened up, and it was this giant bird. I have no other way to describe it.
Okay,
and
I'm actually
Chief was wearing a hood.
To see this. Wow.
Chief was wearing like a cloak, and it looked like Journey, and then he just pulled the cloak down and just started staring at this giant bird. And I was like, what the
So
Halo?
You now take a like time travel and you...
It's like a future bird. It looks like a Forerunner bird, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm trying to find it now to watch, but like, I mean, I still like Halo a lot, and I really enjoyed Halo 4's campaign.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like this. They seem to have like so many different ways that they could go that, you know, any of them can make sense. It's just picking the right one, like, you know, that's gonna make the most sense. I don't really feel that. You know, like Halo 2 to Halo 3 was kind of, you know, pretty straightforward. Halo 1 to Halo 2 was straightforward. You know, and they've played it pretty safe with Halo 4. So yeah. I want to see them go, you know, further afield. I don't want them to do like... I think Halo 4 played it safe enough to kind of convince people, I felt that way at least, that like, you know, we're not going to just shit all over like the gameplay kind of, you know, formula. But I'd like to see them do some new stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I do have to say, I'm glad that Alex Navarro, on his little recap article, has pointed out that the European prices... I'm just going to skip ahead. They announced the price of the console at the end. They said it was $500 in the US and £420 here in the UK.
That's the Xbox, isn't it?
That's for the Xbox One, yeah. And Alex Navarro, in his article, Summary on Giant Bomb, he at least pointed out the fact that that translates to $660 in INR money. So,
okay, I'm watching this Halo thing. That is a big ass four and a bird.
Yep, I told you.
That is
I didn't lie.
That is the Chief wearing like fucking... Why is he wearing a
cloak?
Bin bag.
He's wearing like a burlap sack.
Yeah. Why has he got dog tags?
Fuck knows. I don't know.
That's such a nothing trailer.
It really was so understated. But shall we move on?
Yeah, I guess. I hope they do go more with the Forerunners, though. I mean, not get rid of like
the just... Forerunners are like the most interesting aspect.
Yeah, and like ironically enough, like the story in those Spartan ops was actually way better than the story in the campaign, but.
Considering how that started off, that's quite interesting.
Yeah, and how that ends, like, I want them to go down that route. I won't really, like, get into spoilers for that, but with how that final episode of that leaves off, like, that's way more fucking interesting than, oh, Forerunners and, like, dudes with fucking skulls coming out of their head. Like, the ending of that Spartan Ops story arc is way more interesting.
Interesting. Alright then, Rare are working on a new Killer Instinct game.
Oh, dude.
Which, the floor demo for that wasn't amazing. However, they did interestingly show off the fact that they have they have Twitch integration on the Xbox One.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So Twitch
makes
got snapped
good sense
up
for a fighting
Microsoft.
Game, I guess.
Yes. Right. The only thing is, I do kind of wish Twitch was on both platforms, because it's just a better service than Ustream. So it's a shame that it'll only be available on Microsoft. You can actually have it open up so you can see your stream chat whilst you're playing the game as well. And I believe you can do, you know, the whole turn the connect on and include your voice/person. Was that the same press conference? It must have been. I believe it was the Microsoft one where they showed as well. You can record like a clip and then wrap it in. What was this, PlayStation? No, it was Microsoft. It was definitely Microsoft. So you can record a video clip of whatever game you were playing, and then you can trim it using the analog sticks just to like whatever part of the last match. Like, I think it's automatically recording or whatever. You can just say, I want the last game. I'm going to trim it to this bit and this bit. And then they had a few like themes you could wrap on the video. So like he put a Killer Instinct theme on the video, and it was like it came up with this gamer tag, and it was like epic play from this player. And then like it cut up the gameplay into like little clips and had like animations and shit around it. It looked cool if you're lazy and whatever. I don't know. But the funny thing was that you had them for different games. So there was like a theme. You could put like a Rise theme on your game, your video clip, or you could put a Killer Instinct theme on your video clip. I want to know what happens if you take Killer Instinct, record it, and then put the Rise theme on it. Does it say like in Epic Rome and then has like fucking Wolf kicking the shit out of someone?
I don't know. I am really excited for a new Killer Instinct though. That's been one of those things, like, especially like over the past 2 years since I've really kind of got back into fighting games in general, like this, I've never seen people like cry out more for like a new like iteration of a fighting game. Like Killer Instinct is pretty much, it's always brought up in like stream chats and like always brought up around like new systems and new things being announced. It's like, I mean, the part of the fighting game forum that I go on, it's a Test Your Might. It's mainly like MK orientated for like that kind of scene. It went fucking ape shit with this being announced. It just went crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that does some different stuff though. I mean, from the look of like the stuff they've shown, it does seem to be. But like, I don't know. It seems like most fighting games are playing like a, you know, they stick to not necessarily a formula, but like a almost, you know, a certain list of things that they kind of do. And it'd be interesting to see them kind of maybe mix that up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
from there, more Quantum Break footage, but I really don't care about that and don't really want to talk about it unless you do.
I don't know what Quantum Break is.
That TV show tie-in game with a girl who makes boats crash into bridges or something.
Oh wow. No. I actually saw that and I thought that was someone taking the piss. They were actually
No, that's a real game.
I guess they were that's a real game. Okay.
The other thing after that, which was kinda cool, is they had a very Little Big Planet type game that came out. It's called Project Spark. I assume that's a working title, it might not be. But it essentially was like Little Big Planet but in 3D. So you could just like say, I want a map with mountains, I want it to be winter, or I want it to be, this is all using Kinect voice commands, and I assume you can do it more fine-tuned. And then you can sort of give like basic AI to like the creatures in the world. You can spawn like a rock and make it a pet rock and make it follow you around or make it attack dudes. And all of these kind of things combined together. And the idea is that you can kind of create your own little game levels in it, much like you do in Little Big Planet, but in 3D.
Yeah.
And then like people came in and they had like a demo at the end where there was a bunch of goblin enemies running over hill towards you, and you like, one dude had superpowers. He could like terraform the land whilst he was walking and like kind of raise up the ground in front of him. And they got in some like giant mech thing that I assume they'd put together manually in the editor. And that was kind of the idea behind it. Anyway, the thing it really reminded me of is a Microsoft Research Studios project that came out on Xbox Live Indie Games a few years ago called Cuda, I think. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it, which was like a very simple visually driven programming kind of teaching tool that teaches people to make games through like that. You just kind of, you know, give things a simple AI, like tell this AI when it sees this actor move in this direction or whatever, and you did it all through like little pictures and bubbles and stuff. It almost seemed like it was related to that. I would have to assume people who worked on the Xbox Live Indie Game project kind of went on to work on to turn this into a full game, because it seemed so reminiscent that it couldn't be. It looked vaguely interesting. Don't know how popular it will be, but I guess that's their attempt to stab into the Little Big Planet market.
Yeah, I mean, Little Big Planet was pretty successful. So
yeah, absolutely it was. It was indeed. And then there were a whole bunch more games. There was Sunset Overdrive. Heard of that?
No.
It's Insomniac's new game. It's, as Alex Navarro describes it, parkour meets weaponized energy drinks shooter.
Okay.
Which basically means it was a super bright, super vibrant. It looked a lot like Left 4 Dead. So like 4-player co-op shooter where you shoot kind of zombies, but you can jump on like zip wires and you can fall from like mad distances and not take damage and kind of just jump all over the city like crazy. And all the weapons were really stupid. And it was really, really bright and vibrant, like crazy colors. Like the characters looked like they were from Brink. They kind of were all, you know, disfigured in like a cartoonish kind of way. Not like actually physically disfigured. I mean, like, you know, stretched proportions.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be cool. This is a copy thing. I don't know. Don't know if it's really any good. They showed a Witcher 3 trailer and still looked pretty. They showed a really weird like indie game. They came out with Below. It's
okay.
They said roguelike on stage. and then proceeded to show a like 30-second trailer for this game called Below. It's like a 2D indie game, which was kind of weird. They showed also Sweary 65's new game. You know, Deadly Premonition guy.
Yeah, which was? What was his new game?
D4, I believe it's been announced before.
So it wasn't Deadly Premonition 2?
No, there's no Deadly
Premonition. What's he doing?
It's an episodic murder mystery game. It's exclusively on Xbox One, apparently. So yeah, that was kind of all the games they got through in the press conference. So,
so they didn't...
packed with games, to be honest.
No Gears of War related stuff? That's surprising.
Nope. What's the Gears of War?
No, none of that. Was there any news on that, like, Halo TV series thing?
They said it's happening. They mentioned
I don't
it again.
Really care about that. I was just wondering.
They confirmed it still exists.
Okay. That seems... I don't really want a Halo TV series.
No.
I mean...
No.
I don't know. I mean, that oh, what was that thing called that they did for Halo 4?
Onto Dawn.
Forward Unto Dawn, yeah. That was pretty cool. I thought that was well done, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I want... It's like, that's one of those things that's like, you know, because it was a one-off, like, you know, it's really, you know, if they try and like, you know, do that over and over again, it's like, you might ruin it.
The stuff they did before ODST was really cool as well. You know, like all the...
Yeah, when they started, the first time they started...
Like the people, like they were visiting like Marines looking back on the events of that, like, and they were talking about, and they were showing off like their weapons, just like in like a kind of museum kind of setting.
I really
like it. And some dude standing in a forest just explaining what it's like to be attacked by a whole bunch of elites and grunts.
Yeah.
And survive. That was really cool.
I really like that. I think it was the museum one where they had like the old man.
Yeah.
And he actually, like they have kind of that like live model of that spike rifle.
Yeah, he gets it off.
And it's the first time...
So heavy.
Yeah, that's the first time you really kind of get a sense of, like, how, like, scale-wise. Like, that thing is fucking huge.
And yeah, obviously, for a one-handed weapon.
Yeah, like, but brutes are, like, you know, wielding it with one hand. Like, Spartans are wielding it with one hand. Like, it's so... Yeah. That's something that I still don't think they really got across in Halo 4. You know, like, feeling like you're in that suit. Like, I still don't think they really did that.
To be honest.
Like they got across like the weight of it more, but like not necessarily the speed. Like that's one thing that they've never really done in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that was more or less pretty much everything Microsoft went through. Again, the price was $499 USD, £420 British pounds sterling, and that seems quite steep. Like, especially following on from what Sony did.
I mean, that is pretty damn close to PS3 prices.
Yeah, it's up there.
I think like the 60 gig PS3 was $600. What is it in dollars again? 400 and 500? $500, yeah. And I think the 40 gig PS3 model was $500. So they're already pushing like PS3 era prices.
I mean, it's not totally unexpected. I think we all predicted it would be around £400 for the new
consoles. I was sort of expecting that. I still can't believe that they're actually coming out this year, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
I really thought they were at least another year away, but I'm kind of surprised that it is that expensive though. I think mainly because what we were talking about before we started, like, you know, you'd think they would have learned from previous mistakes, you know, like Sony. You know, it costs Sony dearly, but they found out the hard way that people, you know, are not prepared to pay that much for a console. Like, they're just not. You know, the PS3 didn't do very well at launch because it was just too fucking expensive. And yet Microsoft are like, nah, fuck that, you know.
Indeed. Well, we shall see. Oh, they did announce that they're going to start doing a PlayStation Plus-like Xbox Live giveaway thing. So if you have an Xbox Live subscription, you can get Gears of War.
So you get, like,
no,
games and
yeah, you get free games now. You get Assassin's Creed and Halo 3, Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo 3 are the current games they're offering. And I think that's going to be like a kind of rotation thing, that like they should bring in more games like every so often. I don't know what the refresh rate on that's going to be, but
they're going to be
kind
like,
of
tied to your subscription, like PlayStation Plus is.
I would have to assume so.
Yeah. I think the key to making that, I mean, they're giving away like really old games. I mean, like Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo 3, like, come on. Like, who hasn't played them yet that wants to play them?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, like, personally speaking, to get that to be like a really key hook, they shouldn't tie that to you keeping your subscription. Like, yeah. You know, they're not really, you know, it's not like they're giving away Halo 5. Like, you know, they're giving away like a, you know, three Halo games, old Halo. Like, yeah. You know, nobody's buying £40 copies of Halo 3 anymore. Well, no. If you are, you need to, like, shop better. But.
Yeah. We'll see how that really works out for them. So. That's pretty much Microsoft conference. Following on from that, there was the EA press conference, which I can go through pretty quickly because there's like five games worth talking about from that and then not a lot else. I cleverly managed to miss this, as I said earlier, by getting the time completely wrong. But I went back afterwards and caught up with everything that they went through. And so I'll just run through quickly what the big hitters were. They showed more Battlefield 4. They showed a big old, you know, everyone on stage playing the game in multiplayer. But yo, we've heavily scripted this multiplayer, so it's going to be really cool and the cameraman's not going to die. And it was actually hilarious. After watching that, all I could think was, holy shit, how many times have they played that exact multiplayer match and mm-hmm. had it turn out exactly the same? Because there was one part of it where, so they were playing some objective-based game mode. I assume it's similar to Conquest, but not quite, where they had to go inside this skyscraper and then scale the skyscraper and try and blow it up. And when they were running into the entrance of the skyscraper, this fucking helicopter like turns up behind them, hovering over the it's like on a bay, like on the edge of a river or something in this city. And this helicopter like floats over the river, like looking straight at them as they're running into the entrance of the building, and starts firing rockets past them and like machine gunning them, but obviously missing all the time.
Yeah.
To make it look cool. I can't remember how many times the guy who flies the helicopter has had to go and get the helicopter, fly over there, wait for a bit, and then fly down to the building at the exact moment that they turn up to run into it and start shooting missiles past them. That just seemed crazy to me. I never thought about that before, but, you know, these scripted multiplayer games have to come out for real. Anyway, so the point was, this game had looked really cool because they went up to the top of this skyscraper, planted charges in it, jumped out the side of it, and then they blew up the whole skyscraper and it collapsed into the, you know, the river that the skyscraper was on the edge of. And this is like a 100-story building that they like parachuted out the side of and then had collapse, which was pretty cool. And one of my favorite moments actually was when they were on the way there, they were in a sort of underground section and they see a tank coming. And as the tank's going under the underground, they blow up the support pillar and the tank falls through the floor of the road. Like the road collapses and then the tank falls into the underground, which is pretty awesome. So hopefully they've brought back, or, you know, really stepped up the destruction, because having a whole skyscraper come down in a multiplayer match and being able to sink ground effectively as vehicles drive over seems pretty dope. Pretty dope. So yeah, that was more Battlefield 4. From there, they showed off, apparently this is already announced, but I never heard of it. There's a Plants vs. Zombies third-person shooter tower defense game coming out.
Oh yeah, somebody mentioned that to me today at work.
Yeah, it looked kind of silly, like kind of fun, you know, multiplayer tower defense, third-person shooter kind of thing. Like that seems cool. That seems like it could be all right. They also announced Dragon Age 3, which has been renamed to Dragon Age Inquisition.
Okay.
And that got some footage and a trailer. And that's coming out in 2014, but I don't know anything about Dragon Age games, so I can't really speak to it.
I think John's played Dragon Age, hasn't he?
I believe so, yeah. So hopefully it's better than 2, because apparently that was a flop.
Yeah, I've not heard great things about 2, that's for sure.
They dropped fucking bombshell when they announced Star Wars Battlefront coming from DICE's Los Angeles division.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Which I am all the way stoked off my face for.
At this point, though, there's no way that's going to live up to what people want.
I don't give a shit.
I mean, even if it's like the best thing ever, people.
I just want Battlefront 2 with better graphics. Yeah. That's all I want. That game was amazing. The shit you could do. Like having hundreds of AI dudes all like running around. Not hundreds, but it felt like it. And like, it had space battles. There was like levels where you could just fucking get a spaceship, go fly around for a bit in an X-Wing, and then like land it in a hangar, and then try and blow up your opponent's ship, and you could be a gunner on the ship, and all different classes. And then when you got enough points you could turn into
but
turn into a Jedi and then go fuck people up even more.
You think there's like kind of a danger that it's just going to be like another class-based shooter, though?
Yeah, but I think Star Wars with the, you know, the effect, the way they did that game, it was not just another class.
Oh no, I don't mean that one is. I mean like that's kind of like my fear, I guess.
To make that, like, yeah, sure, that might happen. They might get lazy. Yeah, they'll just get lazy and make it another boring ass first person shooter with classes. But
you know, it's like your spawn within.
It has so much potential if you don't fuck it up. Please don't fuck it up, DICE. It's not even real DICE. It's fake DICE. And finally, there was Mirror's Edge 2.
Yes, the fucking was.
It finally got confirmed.
Yeah, I mean,
after everyone screaming Mirror's Edge 2 at their monitors for about a day.
Never lost faith in that. I kept it alive. I'm really glad that there's going to be another Mirror's Edge. And also, it seems like what they showed looked a lot like gameplay, which is not, you know, the cool thing at the moment. You know, when you show a trailer, you're like, hey, here's a CG load of bullshit, and here's a fucking release date and pre-order now underneath it. Like, even though it did look like pre-rendered, like that definitely looked very, very Mirror's Edge. Like that looked like Mirror's Edge gameplay. So
it didn't look that pre-rendered.
Oh, I don't mean pre-rendered as in like pre-rendered. It wasn't in game. I mean like, you know, it was obviously like made to look. What the fuck is that word? Not when something's pre-rendered, but it was like it's. I can't think of the word.
You mean just like an in-engine cutscene.
Sort of, yeah. You know like what they did with God of War 3, like when they first showed that? Like, it was in-engine, but it was quite obviously, like, not real-time, if you know what I mean. Like, it was recorded and enhanced. And like, yeah, like, you know, that's what I mean. Like, but yeah, like, I really like what they showed of that. I think it looked really cool. And fuck yeah, Mirror's Edge 2. I'm really glad we're getting another Mirror's Edge game. I didn't think it'd be next-gen, but, I mean, I always figured the reason we didn't get one yet was because of money, and surely this is more expensive to make for, you know, the next-gen systems than it would have been to make it for... Oh, maybe this was the plan all along.
Maybe this was the plan all along.
Who
maybe
knows?
Maybe this was the plan all along. I love how people shit on EA all the time and then get super hyped when they announce a bunch of games. I really don't think EA deserve the hate that they get. They have a lot of good software.
They have given us, in my opinion, some of the best games this generation.
Yeah, hands down. Just not even close.
Dead motherfucking Space 1, 2, and 3. Like,
maybe not 3.
Nah, 3 is good, man. I really wish... I still need to play more of that, but...
In the summer, I will actually download that before I go home, and then
the only downside with that is every time, like, I remember when I was playing through it again, like every time I was playing it, I there was just that little voice that was like, "Dead Space 2 is better. Go and play that." Like, Dead Space 2 is still better. Like, even though you can't put like a flamethrower on the end of your buzzsaw in Dead Space 2, you know, Dead Space 2 is still better. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think EA just they're the bad guy. Like, you know, they are the movie villain that everybody loves to hate.
Yeah.
Without really thinking about it.
Pretty much. Okay, so that was EA, not Microsoft. And moving on from there, we had Ubisoft, which I did manage to catch. Ubisoft got Aisha Tyler back, you know, the presenter that they had last year.
I don't know who that is.
Was she the woman that was with Tabuscus, you know, the annoying YouTube guy? And
I don't know who that is either. Isn't that the woman that was in the Halo Reach promo stuff?
I have no idea.
I think she was. I remember her holding a sniper rifle.
Okay.
A really cheap looking shitty prop sniper rifle in some like Halo Reach promo video that made me want to fucking hurl.
Yeah, she wasn't that offensive, and like she did give the.
Who is she? What is she? Why is she? What is she
fine,
doing?
I will Google it. One second. Let me Google. Well, she did it last year, so that's why she's back. She's an actor, I believe.
Who was she last year?
She was the presenter for Ubisoft's press conference last year.
What did she do? What's her name again?
Is in Aisha Tyler.
How'd you spell that?
A-I-S-H-A Tyler.
Ah, it's come on.
She's currently the co-host of The Talk. She was on Friends. She was in CSI. She was in Archer. She's a stand-up comedian and an author.
She is. Yeah, I was getting it confused with somebody else.
And apparently she's quite into games.
Cool.
So yeah, she has a genuine enthusiasm for games, which is good. And she's an interesting personality. Like, last year when they paired her with Tobuscus, it was shit because it was just, like, too over the top. So I think the idea of just reining it down to one of the two of them was much better. Yeah. And she did a good performance. She came out wearing a Girlwood top, which was annoying, you know, from last year. Do you not remember?
That doesn't...
thing. She said Girlwood, like, multiple times during the... It was really stupid.
Oh, right.
So that happened, and then their press conference kind of consisted of things that we've sort of really seen before. They had Rayman Legends again.
Cool.
They showed that again. They showed Splinter Cell again, which looked
I'm really looking forward to Splinter Cell.
I am not.
You are fucking crazy. That game looks fucking cool. That game looks cool.
Showed Just Dance.
Get with the times, man.
They showed some more Watch Dogs. Which looked pretty good. Like, nothing too special. Like, it seems to be solidifying in everyone's minds what that actually is as a game. Like, when it first came out and no one really knew what it was about, it was more exciting, I think. And now that people are kind of sussing it out, you know, the hype's dying down a bit, but it still looks like a good game. So that's the important thing. I'm still on board with, like, giving it a chance because it looks pretty awesome. Then they showed Assassin's Creed 4 trailer. But no gameplay. That came in the Sony conference, which I'll talk about in a bit.
You know, there's a reason they never show Assassin's Creed gameplay, because it's shit. I mean, let's call it like it is. Like, that gameplay is not, you know, hype-inducing gameplay to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The whole press conference wasn't really that interesting. They showed The Crew, which is another driving game, just in case you hadn't had enough of them yet. And that was a, like...
To be honest, if sales and history is anything to go by, people will never, ever get enough of driving games.
Yeah. This was a multiplayer-focused driving game that kind of revolved around tuning your car for, like, whatever event you go and do.
Yeah.
So, like, you can, like, roll up at an event and, like, put monster truck wheels on your car to, like, do an off-road event or... You know, add a fin on it to make it go faster on a street race or something stupid like that. And it seemed very, like... It had, like, a whole map of America. And I guess things are meant to be happening at the same time in different parts all at once. And you can kind of just roll up and meet your friends at places and then split up. Like, so it's, like, online all the time, really. So, like, you can just basically meet up with your friends whenever you want to or go off and do stuff on your own whenever you want to. And there's kind of just other people there kind of thing.
Cool.
So it looked interesting. They mentioned they're still making the South Park game, but didn't show anything. And they said there are two new Trials games. Yeah.
Okay.
Trials, baby. One's coming out on iOS, the other one is coming out on next-gen consoles. It looks...
Do you think they'll go, like, full, like, retail with the next one? Or do you think they'll keep it downloadable?
I can't remember which one is which. One second.
Trials... Was it Trials Evolution? Was Trials 2, wasn't it? Essentially,
no, because there were three Trials games before it came out on Xbox.
I mean, Trials HD was like, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, the 360 releases. Like,
okay, the next one is called Trials Fusion. It's coming out on Xbox 360, PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. But I do not know whether it's a download game or a full retail game.
Oh, okay.
No idea. They could do, though. They kind of have enough of a following to probably get away with it.
I don't think it's necessarily get away. I think it's just one of those games where, like, you can never have enough of it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I mean, they're not my thing, but, you know, if you dig Trials, like, you know, if they were like, yeah, it's retail and there's like 1,000 levels, you know, if you dig Trials, you're going to be like, yeah, cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
I'll take that.
I guess you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. The final thing they closed on is actually the thing I found most interesting from the press conference, largely because it was really pretty. Was Tom Clancy's The Division. That was the name I was trying to remember earlier.
All right.
It's an open world RPG from Massive Entertainment and is in some sort of near future scenario where something to do with money and blood. Yeah, there's a virus in the money. And it destroys society.
Okay.
But who cares, because you've got guns and you shoot people. All I know is that it looked goddamn gorgeous, and I really have to recommend you go watch the trailer. Like, the reflections on the ground, the physics.
Is it
like,
real time, or was it pre-rendered?
Yeah, it was it was an in-game,
I'll
real-time
have to check
thing.
That out.
And then the combat was like third-person cover-based shooting with like kind of... it seemed a lot like, again, a Borderlands is the closest thing I can relate it to, because the guy dudes had health bars when you shot them.
Yeah.
And like you did, like damage numbers came off dudes when you hit them. So I don't know whether what that really is as a game, but it does look really pretty. That's the only thing I can really say for it that made me at least interested with it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was Ubisoft. Nothing too interesting in Ubisoft's press conference, but it wasn't entirely terrible.
Did they show... Sorry, Assassin's Creed 4, I'm assuming you're talking. They didn't show like any new shit, did they? Like,
what do you mean,
like another
shit?
Assassin's Creed?
No, just right, Assassin's just 4. Creed 4, okay. Black Flag. Yeah, that's the only thing they're showing right now. Thankfully.
I'm not really interested at all.
Why not?
Because it's Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, you're right. Moving on with our lives. Then Sony happened, and shit got real. Like,
indeed.
Really,
shit
really real.
Did indeed get real.
Man, I don't even know where to start with the... They started out pretty slowly, actually. You could tell the contrast between Microsoft, who had already got all the boring, you know, here's our console, here's how it works, shit out of the way at their previous press conference, and showed, you know, we've got Netflix and we've got fucking television and all your favorite things in the world. So, but the Sony hadn't really done all that stuff and had to come out with that at the beginning. They started off by talking about the Vita and the PS3, showing Walking Dead's coming out on the Vita.
What did they show about the PS3?
God, what did they show? The Last of Us and Beyond. You know, the Ellen Page game. Yeah, the Beyond looked completely different from what they showed before. You know how last year they showed her like in an interrogation scene in like a police station or whatever, and it looked much like Heavy Rain, you know, the narrative-driven stuff. In this one, it was like she was doing military training, and like then she went and fucked up a bunch of dudes.
Okay.
Like, beating the shit out of people. And I have no idea what happened in that trailer or what that game's about. It looked really weird. But, yeah, that's still coming out on PS3. I guess that's coming out soon or something.
The Last of Us is out. Is it next week?
Yeah, very soon. That's reviewed insanely well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad.
Do you like Uncharted?
Uncharted 2, I don't not like them, but they are very, very average to me. I appreciate what they do character wise and setting wise, but like, I, you know, they are games, and their gameplay, in my opinion, leaves a lot to be desired. Like, they are barely functional third person shooters. You know, and yes, they have cool, they have really, really good characters. They have great dialogue. They look incredible, but you know, I'm playing for the gameplay, and the gameplay is not the best.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, I don't think they're bad by any stretch of the word. Like, they're good, but they're just not really my cup of tea. Really.
Yeah. So that was all the non PS4 stuff. And then they started rolling, and they got through like a lot of trailers more than gameplay demos necessarily. But they had Infamous Second Son trailer.
Yeah, they did.
They had a Drive Club trailer, and they had Killzone trailer. Do you want to talk about Infamous, I assume?
Yeah, I think that's the only one I've had time to see. I'm not that fussed about Killzone. I'll probably check it out. But I definitely saw the Infamous trailer, and holy shit. That was that confirmed to be in game?
No.
It looked
be like cutscenes.
I mean, yeah, nice. It looked in game esque.
Yeah,
I guess the best I can say. And yeah, like I really hope it is, because I don't know, it's a thing with me. Like, I really want clothes to be done well somehow in graphics, and like in that trailer, like it seemed like they figured out how to do clothes finally. Like the main character's wearing like a kind of a vest over his jacket, and he's wearing a shirt, and like his shirt actually moves, like his jacket actually, you know, it's not quite obviously just a texture that's on the character model to look like a shirt. Like it looks like a, you know, he's actually wearing a shirt and he's actually wearing a jacket. And that's just something that I've always really liked. Like whenever you get to see clothes like look relatively realistic, I think it's I just think it looks really, really cool, and it really adds a lot to, you know, the realism of the like the look of a game. Of like if they can get like a if they can get someone's like coat to move like a coat, or get someone's cape to move like a cape, I think I like that shit. I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like gameplay wise, like I assume most of that is pretty. It reminded me a lot of the Infamous 2 trailers they put out, where it's like, you know, this isn't like strictly in-game footage, but like a lot of this is going to probably translate to what you can do in the game. It seems like you're very similar. You just have fire now. Like fire seems to be like your element.
Pretty much, yeah.
And like he can shoot fireballs. I'd be really interested to see how they contextualize being able to control fire, enables him to split himself into three fireballs, travel about 200 feet in the air, and then turn himself into a bomb. Maybe that's best left unexplained, but it sure did look cool.
Because why not?
Yeah, because why not? I mean, it seems like you can kind of like conduct fire to whatever you have. Like he had a chain and he was like whacking dudes with it, and dudes were on fire, and yeah, like, that looks really cool. And Infamous has some of the tightest controls ever, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Indeed. Yeah.
It seems like they're selling it more as well. It seems like they're kind of, they're really trying to, I mean, I don't think it is, but like Infamous has always kind of been like a solid B tier release, if you know what I mean. Even though I would put it above that, but it seems like they're trying to put this forward as more of like a Killzone Uncharted level exclusive.
I think it's been growing like towards that.
Oh, I do. I definitely agree. But I think, you know, you wouldn't, if you were to think of like AAA franchises, just by, you know, what AAA actually means, you wouldn't think of Infamous per se. Like,
maybe not necessarily. At least not the first one.
Yeah, definitely not the first one. But like with this one, it seems to be like, yeah, you know, this is a fucking reason to get a PS4. Like, you know, kind of like, yeah, if they come out with like Uncharted 4 or something, you know, they're obviously gonna, you know, promote that shit a lot.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And then the first new title they came out with was The Order 1886. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No, I haven't, but someone pitched it to me pretty well at work.
So, do you want to go through what they said? Because they probably have a better way of phrasing it than I do.
I can't remember like exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what he said. My short-term memory is garbage. Nah, it's gone. I've tried.
My best interpretation
Give
of it
me
was
a
like,
week and I'll be able to tell you. That's the weird thing.
It's like, it was very steampunk and like period, and then there were guns. That is all I have. Okay. Set in like, you know, Sherlock Holmes time.
I remember you like you mentioned like the Victorian setting, but like
very Victorian, and there were blimps and, you know, everything you'd associate with steampunk. And then they had these guns that just like shot fireballs effectively.
Cool.
Not really sure what that's about, but it had a very interesting aesthetic that could turn out to be pretty cool if they do something good with it. And it was only a CG trailer. There was no gameplay for that, so don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's E3, you know, they're gonna roll out their CG.
Mm-hmm. They showed, did they close with Destiny? I can't remember. It was definitely very near the end. But they showed some Destiny gameplay, which looked really cool, and that was really where I got the vibe of where Bungie think multiplayer shooters are going.
Yeah.
You know, because after Call of Duty, where do you go? You know, the competitive multiplayer scene's really kind of been tapped out. And it seems like Respawn are trying to tap back into that in a new way with the whole mech stuff and, you know, trying to revitalize that. But Bungie seem to be going in a different direction. Destiny is very, you know, obviously co-op focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of almost a Guild Wars 2 like MMO kind of thing of like just wandering around, people turn up. So it started off with just like two dudes outside this gate, and they went inside and shot some like, you know, standard fodder enemies, killed them, moved on, grabbed some loot or something at one point, I think, using abilities and stuff. I can't really remember exactly what was happening. And then all of a sudden they come over this ridge, like come out into this open area. There's this giant like spider robot thing shooting, and then all of a sudden there's like 50 dudes on screen all dumping on this spider. Maybe 50 is an exaggeration, more like 20 or something.
But like all co-op very... stuff, you mean, like all working together?
Yeah, all working together against this monster. No competitive, no anything. It was all. It very much reminded me of the way the world quest type stuff worked in Guild Wars 2. Mm-hmm. With like, you know, you can stumble across these events in the environment, and it'll pop up like everyone should help with this event. Everyone gets a reward. You know, you all work together to try and fight off this big world boss, and then everyone gets loot at the end. And again, I don't know why a lot of games at the moment give me Borderlands vibes, but that was another one.
Loot. Like, every game should have loot.
Yeah, this game was hella loot. In fact, it actually really reminded me of Warframe. Mm. Have you heard anything about Warframe?
No.
It's a free-to-play co-op shooter. I think that's mission-based, whereas this seems open world. But yeah, that kind of seems to be where shooters are going. If I had to put my money on where I think shooters are going, it's away from competitive multiplayer and towards cooperative.
Look at the last time Bungie
with
like,
loot.
Kind of redid shit with first-person shooters. Like, you know. It's hard to say they got it wrong last time, so...
No, I think they are being very smart with what they're doing with Destiny. It might not be for me, because I'm not necessarily interested in just playing, you know, a loot-driven shooter, but that's definitely going to tap into the kind of people who played the Mass Effect multiplayer and bought the card packs, you know, the random loot packs.
Yeah, from what you said, like, it seems smart that they're going after a different crowd. From the flight.
It might not even be a different crowd. It might just be, you know, shifting mentality. People are getting bored with the old, and if they can capture some people with this, maybe they'll
flood over. You know, like Respawn, like, you know, if they're trying to put a new spin on competitive multiplayer or whatever, you know, if you're doing that, like, you have to knock off Call of Duty off the number one spot. Like, just, you know, that's the game you have
to. Yeah, they have to be a cut
to kill. It's like when World of Warcraft was. I mean, World of Warcraft is still huge, but you know what I mean? Like, when World of Warcraft was just fucking ridiculous, you know. Every single MMO was like, how can we beat World of Warcraft? How can we beat it? Was like the mentality.
Yeah.
And if they're going, it's like, no, we're going to let them do their own shit. Like, how are we going to cater to everybody that doesn't want that? Like,
yeah.
And from the sounds of it, like, if that's what Bungie are doing, then that's cool.
And I think co-op's really smart, because the whole thing about Call of Duty is it's like low barrier to entry. It's a pretty simple game at its core. Anyone can really pick up and play and twist some sticks and shoot a dude. But what about if you could do that and you wouldn't ever be doing bad at the game? Like, I mean,
I guess, but I mean, there's always going to be there's always going to be a competitive aspect, even in co-op. Like, you know, you've always got that.
Yeah, but I mean, the competitive aspect in a multiplayer, like an actual competitive shooter like Call of Duty, at a certain point you hit your skill wall and you're like, these dudes are better than me. I'm always going to, you know, go one for one. My kill death ratio, you know, I'm never going to be the kind of person that gets two kills for every death I get or whatever. On average, in a co-op game, you know, that kind of stress, I think, is relieved, and it kind of makes.
I don't know. People are probably still going to care about their kill death ratio somehow.
I only have 100 kills per death in Destiny because shooting simple robot dudes.
Yeah, I don't know the whole like there's one I can't remember where I read it, but it was really really good. Article on like the way stats have impacted the way people play like multiplayer stuff, and it is true. Like a lot of the people that I used to play Gears with, really, really regularly, like they stopped playing because of their stats. It was like, oh, you know, like, you know, either my stats are really good and I want to keep them good, or my stats are shit, so I don't want to play this game anymore. You know, and like that's crazy in my opinion. Like. Stopping playing a game you like because some fucking arbitrary number is not what you want it to be. Like,
yeah.
Like, abolish all statistics. Fuck it. Like, if you want to keep statistics, you've got to
get a pen and paper.
Yeah, you've got to have your own spreadsheet. Like, if you want to be hardcore, you've got to be the hardest of hardcore.
That'd be awesome. People like on PC started making plugins.
Yeah, like we aren't keeping your stats anymore. We're gonna delete them all. But like, I mean, like, it is interesting to see stats. Like, it is cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to see, like, it's completely useless, but I do love the stuff Bungie do with, like, the heat maps of where you die on maps and that kind of stuff. Like, it's completely useless. Like, I mean, maybe if you were a pro gamer and you wanted to know, oh, every time I come around this corner, I need to be more careful because I die there quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, that stuff's really interesting, but...
But it's completely irrelevant to, like, 99.999% of the people who play the game. But it looks pretty.
Yeah, and I like the more so the stuff with... Like where they just keep track of everything. It's like you can see how many times you've been killed by a sword in Halo.
Yeah.
And you look and, you know, it turns out, I think pretty much everybody, like the thing you get killed by the most is either melee or grenades. Like if you play Halo, like just kind of, you know, not on a professional level or whatever. Actually, having watched a lot of MLG Halo, you're probably still getting killed by a lot of grenades. Because those motherfuckers know how to throw a grenade. But yeah, like just that side, like that side of it, I really like. I think it was in, it might have been the new DMC. That had like some cool stats. It was like, you know, how many enemies you've killed like with certain weapons. Like it had some really interesting stats that you wouldn't really expect to keep track of. That stuff is really interesting just because it doesn't hurt anybody. It's like, oh, how many times have I jump cancelled or something? Oh, 1,000. That's pretty cool. You know, it's not like, oh my god, my KD is terrible because whatever arbitrary reason, I'm going to stop playing this game now. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, what else did they show? They showed actual gameplay of Watch Dogs again. What happened in that? He was... I really can't remember.
Okay, sounds like a very, very impactful.
He had like police coming after him, and he was trying to get this dude, and then he like left this dude to get arrested. It was meant to be talking about like morals or something, because this guy he was going after was like some criminal or something. But then the police were chasing him because he was like blatting dudes or something and pissing off the police. And then he got this dude, and then the police arrested him, but he ran away because he has electric gadgets on his phone.
Okay,
I think that summarizes that demo pretty well.
Okay, it sounds awesome. I will pre-order it now.
Okay, that does not summarize that demo well. If you want to see what they showed for Watch Dogs, go watch it on YouTube. I can't remember.
Watch Dogs is still kind of, you know.
I don't need to see any more of Watch Dogs. Like, I got the idea of it. I just want to, you know, see what that game is like when I have it in my hands at this point.
I want to see the finished product. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that dude has a really sexy cloak. Like, if you like cloth physics,
cool. I like clothes.
There was something else about that game that I really liked. That set it apart from GTA. Oh man, what was it? I'm gonna have to watch the trailer again and come back to you on this one because I remember looking at it and I was like, that's something that GTA should have done.
Speaking
years
of GTA,
ago,
did GTA 5 get any time at all?
It got a mention. There's a special PlayStation edition PlayStation coming out.
Okay.
With the game, which costs a lot of money.
All right.
That was it.
I continue to have no interest in GTA 5.
Oh, I do remember something that happened in the Watch Dogs trailer. That was actually kind of cool thing. Like, it came on the news channel in this like restaurant or whatever he was in, that the police were looking for Aiden Pierce, and like it had his picture on the TV, and then it came up with little symbols, like all the people around him were getting suspicious, and this dude goes outside to like try and ring the police, and you have to chase him outside and grab his phone and smash it. That was kind of cool.
It would have been like way more subtle if you could like send out an EMP or something and like
you probably can
break his phone. Well, yeah,
fuck that. Grabbing his phone and smashing it's more fun.
Not very subtle though.
Nah, not really. Anyway, then they showed Assassin's Creed 4 Black. Who gives a...
Didn't they already show that?
No, they showed like a trailer.
No, I mean like
it.
The Microsoft thing. I swear we've already gone over this.
Hang on.
Was it the same demo or a different one?
Who releases? Ubisoft does that. In the Ubisoft press conference, they showed a trailer.
Ah,
I did not
right.
remember
okay.
them
see.
In the Microsoft thing. So I think. Let me just double
check. I knew we'd already mentioned this. So.
No, it was in the Ubisoft thing, and I did say they only showed a trailer. Gameplay was in the Microsoft thing and the Sony thing, and it got really scary. I'm almost dubious that this was running on an actual PlayStation 4 because of the way it broke. So basically what happened, he was playing the demo, and yeah, whatever, you're a pirate, and you're not a pirate, but you're with on an island with like a bunch of pirates. It's all jungly. You can stealth through the jungle and kill people. You're like, you know, it's all like foresty. There are leaves and stuff everywhere and whatever. But like whilst he was walking through the forest, it just stopped for a moment. I thought the stream had stopped, but then it went to a camera on stage of him just standing there, just like waiting for the game to unfreeze. Like, it wasn't like the game crashed or anything. It just like solid froze, like no movement, no nothing, no game sounds, perfect freeze. And then it resumed and carried on. And that seems a really suspicious way for like a game to break. I don't think I've ever played a game where it's just frozen, stayed still, not stuttered at all, and then gone back to running perfectly.
Can't say I have either.
It seems like the weirdest bug I've ever seen, which made me think, is this just video streaming off of something?
He's just pretending to play it.
He's just pretending to play it. I'm sure it wasn't. But anyway, so it carried on. It stuttered a few, like it froze and carried on a few more times until one point it just crapped out entirely. Just like solid freeze, wouldn't come back, and they just turned it off. And the best, the worst part, I suppose, was for the guy who was standing on stage playing it. When they went back to the stage to watch him, he was just standing there shaking his head at the screen.
He
was just
life.
Like, oh, fuck. And then just walked off the stage. I do feel bad for those guys, but then again,
Assassin's that
Creed.
Can't be easy to like.
Yeah, that's got to be really hard. Like, I'm sure it wasn't like necessarily their fault. Maybe they had to push a new build like last night that they probably shouldn't have, or Sony changed the requirements of the machine it'd be running on, or something. You know, any number of things could have caused that to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's a shame for them. As much as I'm not interested in Assassin's Creed, it looks like a fine Assassin's Creed game if you are still into Assassin's Creed. I really think the reason they chose to do a pirate game is because they did all that work on the boat combat in Assassin's Creed 3.
The boat combat was fucking garbage, though. That was one of the worst parts of Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, you should buy Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag because it has more boat combat.
No.
It's the exact same boat combat. Like,
yeah,
hands down, and it
was terrible. I mean, I know it's not as bad as it was at launch, like, which is fair enough. Like, I imagine it's a bit better. But you need to do a bit better than a bit better to make that even close to being good. So, yeah, like, more boat combat is not...
I really feel like that's the only reason they chose this setting, is because they could reuse all that.
Yeah, like they could churn it out in a year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they've got a big enough studio to have started working on this before Assassin's Creed 3 done. But yeah, they did announce Elder Scrolls Online's coming to the PS4.
Cool.
They showed a little bit of that. That is starting to look more like an Elder Scrolls game, but there are still parts of it where I'm like, that just looks like generic fantasy. Like, that doesn't even look. Mm-hmm. Elder Scrolls has this thing where it's not just generic. You know, you see something in Elder Scrolls and you're like, I can see how that fits into their universe once you've played enough Elder Scrolls games. But when you see something that's just like the most generic fantasy, you know, imp, goblin, enemy, whatever, it's just, you're like, it sticks out. And a lot of that stuff sticks out. And what sticks out the most is how MMO terrible the combat looks for a start. And secondly, the whole, you know, everyone
MMO and terrible combat kind heads. Of go hand in hand.
Everyone running around with names above their heads is like the thing that would make me want to slit my wrist the most whilst playing an Elder Scrolls game. When I play an Elder Scrolls game, I'm playing it to be immersed in that world that they create.
Yeah, that's true. Names
of
people's heads.
Amazing depth and fiction. And the thing I want the least in Elder Scrolls is more UI. I stripped Skyrim down to... I generally play Skyrim with the HUD turned off entirely, so I wasn't even able to see my health bar most of the time, or if I did have my health bar on, I had it turned down to the lowest opacity possible, so that I didn't have to look at it. And more recently, I got a mod that just kind of removes that stuff entirely when it doesn't need to be on screen. And not a fan of where Elder Scrolls Online is going as a big Elder Scrolls fan. But that could just be me and the fact I don't really want multiplayer on my Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah.
Still more games. I'm like halfway through the list of stuff that PS PlayStation.
Yeah, they showed a shit ton.
They showed a lot of games. They showed...
Oh, what was the Killzone stuff, by the way? I forgot. What did they actually show of Killzone?
This is a short trailer, I think.
All right, so no gameplay.
No more gameplay. I think it was... Yeah, it was just another trailer.
Well, gameplay, I mean, you're going to
They had, like, a little trailer montage of things that they'd already shown before. Yeah. That was just really quick clips of reminding you, you know, this still exists.
Yeah. You will shoot dudes in the face, and I imagine it's probably going to look quite pretty. So,
Square Enix actually showed stuff this time rather than just announcing that they were going to show something.
Okay.
It was awesome. They came out and showed Final Fantasy Versus 13, which is a stupid name, so they renamed it Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
They
really need to stop making Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, I know, right? The only thing is, for somebody who doesn't like Final Fantasy games, it actually looked all right. They showed a little bit of gameplay, and it was like first person. And not first person. It was character action-y type stuff. Like, it didn't look like turn-based combat. It looked like, you know, controlling a dude running around in a 3D
world.
It looked
like actual combat, you mean?
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe. There were still numbers, but... Eh. Might not be terrible. And another Kingdom Hearts game, if you like Disney or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, no, neither of those are really for me, but they're out there. If you want to go,
I thought Kingdom Hearts 2, I mean, I've been, fuck it, I can't even remember what year it was when I played Kingdom Hearts 2. But I remember that game having good combat, like it had a good combat system. I really would have to play it again to talk about it with anything resembling an informed opinion. But I remember really liking the combat in that game. Like, that's one of the main reasons I enjoyed playing it, was just the combat was... It was cool, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, they're making a new Mad Max game, which means nothing to me.
Me neither. Let's move on.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm the only one. Everyone seemed to know what Mad Max was about.
Well, I know what Mad Max is, but, you know.
You just don't care.
Mad Max is a film. Well, it's more than one film, but yeah, I'm not really interested, so.
It's, all right then.
I don't know, like Mad Max, yeah, but okay, Mad Max game, cool.
They much like Microsoft tried to do, they had a section when they were like, yo, we've got loads of indie games, and then they showed Transistor, which, if you're into Bastion, I guess still
Supergiant
looks cool.
Games, new game?
Uh-huh. And then they showed Octodad, Deadliest Catch, which, fucking Octodad is the coolest idea for a game there is. It's so stupid. So stupid. You know what Octodad is, right?
No, I don't. This is the first time hearing of Octodad.
What the fuck? Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for you to explain it.
I'm going to roll this back. Octodad. Octodad is a game where you play as a dad.
Okay.
But you're an octopus.
Okay.
And you have to go about, well, at least in the first game, I believe. It was like a really short kind of like indie game kind of thing. But I believe in the first game, you had to go about doing normal daily tasks without people realizing you're an octopus.
Okay.
So you had to...
I'm
going to assume this isn't actually in the game, but I imagine this is what it's like. You would have to, say, tie your son's shoelaces or wash up the dishes or something, but you're an octopus.
I think having eight limbs would give you an edge there.
No, but your limbs are all gelatinous.
Oh, okay.
So your limbs are like crazy and you can't walk properly. Like the trailer for Octodad Deadliest Catch, when he walks, he does like the splits. He takes like a giant step and it's all like looks really hard to control.
Okay.
I'm gonna look at Octodad, the original game. Octodad is a freeware, third-person puzzle adventure created by the DePaul Game Experience, a team of 19 students from DePaul University in Chicago. The game was developed over 6 months, an entry into an independent games festival showcase. The game follows an eponymous Octodad, an octopus masquerading as a human who must collect items throughout his house in order to build a mannequin to avoid dinner with his wife.
Cool.
So you have to like get shit from the fridge and stuff, and you're an octopus. I don't know, it sounded pretty cool. It's coming out on PlayStation. On top of that, Don't Starve is coming out on PlayStation, which I haven't played. Apparently that's alright.
Me neither.
Outlast, which is apparently a survival horror game, but I don't even remember them showing it. And the remake of Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, New and Tasty, the remake of the original Oddworld game.
Oh man, Oddworld. Did you ever play Oddworld?
No, I didn't.
Oh, your childhood is incomplete.
Sorry.
She never played Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. That game is so good.
Maybe I should play the remake?
Nah, play the original. That game is so fucking weird. Like, that's the kind of game that I imagine, like, if an equivalent of it came out now, like, it would be hailed as this, like, revolutionary, like, you know, for the medium or some shit. Like, whereas at the time, it was just really daft and silly and, like, really random. But, you know, it felt like, you know, a group of people was like, yeah, we have all these systems and mechanics, but no real way to connect them. Aliens, meat factory, let's go. Somehow, this works. Like, yeah, that game was really weird, but fucking awesome.
Nice.
You should definitely play Abe's Odyssey.
Alright, I'll think about it.
You should go buy it. Buy a PS1 and go play it.
I have a PS1.
Well, then you're halfway there.
Indeed I am.
Now he needs a copy of the game.
Yep. I just remembered, the way they revealed all these indie games is actually really cool. So the way they had the press conference set up was there was a main screen at the top, and then there were 8 smaller screens underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And effectively they had, as they announced each game, they actually had like one of the people from the development team on stage playing their game on one of these 8 smaller screens. And so as they announced each one, the screen would turn on, and the dude would be standing there playing the game. And like, he addressed all the guys by names and like introduced them and everything. And like one of them, he was like, "And I brought this guy here because he didn't believe we'd actually be interested in his game," or something like that. And the guy chuckled. It was really really neat.
Cool.
And that was kind of cool. This came obviously amongst their announcement for their indie self-publishing initiative, which allows indie studios to bring their games to PlayStation Store free of dealing with publishers.
Cool.
So, yeah. Sony trying to...
That's definitely something that they kind of... I think, like, they've definitely got the games, but I think with... You know, they just need a better way of, like, telling people about it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like when Journey came out, like, Journey was huge, kind of, in certain circles. But there was plenty of people that had no fucking idea what it was. Like, that it was even out, that it even existed. You know, because, like, it's... I'm trying to remember how I found it. I think I was just on the PlayStation Store and I saw it and was like, that looks kind of cool. Mm. And I think when it came out, it was originally, might have been 10% off or something. So I thought, fuck it. Like, you know, I'll get that. That looks pretty interesting. And the rest is history. Like, you know, it's, they need a way of getting that stuff out there, you know?
Yeah. You're right. That is true.
Which reminds me, I still need to buy the, I still need to import that, like, that game company Blu-ray collection thing.
What, the one with all their old, like, indie, like, little...
Purely because I need, like, a physical copy of Journey.
Alright.
Like, I cannot have that just digital. It's just, no.
Fair enough.
Alright. That needs to be on my shelf. Like, that needs physical representation.
You old man.
Yep. Hey, right. I'm getting like dangerously close to planning my Geometry Wars cabinet at this point, so yeah. Like,
I think you should go ahead with that. That'll be
so
awesome.
So fucking cool to have that. Like, have it in my like living room or some shit. But yeah. Like, people see it, but what's that? Like, it's fucking Geometry Wars cabinet. What does it look like?
Yeah. Okay. You know what this brings us to?
There was not a Geometry Wars 3, so it doesn't bring us to that.
This brings us to the part where Sony dropped bombs during their press conference.
They dropped
all
several
over Microsoft.
Bombs of several proportions.
Directly onto Microsoft.
Yes.
Like, they were straight up calling out Microsoft. Just no bones about it. They might as well have named them at that point, the way they were talking about.
Can you remember like anything they said? Because I didn't watch it and I haven't really been able to see any of this. Like, did they kind of just... You know, rip
basically
them.
Jack Tretton was just on stage and he just had this slide of bullet points behind him, and he was just like, if you he just basically just went straight into it, saying, you know, online checks will not be made to play single player games offline, you know.
Yeah.
Just straight up said that, and he just straight up said, Also, we are fully supporting used games. If you want to give a game to a friend, you can give a game to a friend. If you want to sell a game back to your store, we believe you should be able to do that. And at this point, people were just like standing up and giving like standing ovations.
Yeah, I heard
going
that.
Mental,
I heard about that.
Which is funny because apparently, before the event, like, well, actually during the event, he thanked at the beginning of the event, he thanked everyone for turning up, and he also at the end thanked the people who have been waiting outside since 4 a.m. in the morning or something. So apparently, PlayStation fans were allowed to queue up outside. They had reserved some seats near the front for fans who wanted to wait and speculatively get in, let into the press conference. And apparently, Jeff himself was sitting next to some of these people who were just random PlayStation fanboys just getting up and cheering during the press conference.
Yeah, I think to be honest, though, it definitely seems that like they are definitely doing like the right things, but I think it's the fact that Microsoft, like the way they've handled it, you know, it's not a case of like Sony just doing everything right. It's just the thing, you know,
it's just them pouncing on the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like they're just timing could not have been better. You know?
Yeah, and on top of that, they released a YouTube video onto their PlayStation channel. It's titled "How to Share a Game."
I've seen that. Yeah, that's the video that's been making the
on
rounds
on PlayStation 4. It's a 30-second video. Like 90% of the video is a title card that just says "Step 1: How to Sharing the Game," and then as soon as the title card goes away, it's just dude gives game to other dude, and then the video ends.
that's good. I like that. I like that kind of like smack talk. I think it keeps, you know, Microsoft. I mean, I don't know what they could come back with, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think they really can come back with anything at the moment, but you never know.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they dropped the third bomb, which was this console's, which remarkably, reportedly, is more powerful than Microsoft's console, is going to launch at $100 less, at a price point of just $400 USDs or £350 British sterling.
Yep. Which, I was not expecting that price.
No.
Like, that's borderline got me pre-ordering it just because I know I'll be able to afford it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty great.
You know, and I'll be able to have a PS4 and be all like, I've got a PS4, bitches. and then the Xbox. Yeah. Like, I couldn't care less about the Xbox at this point. Not, you know, I'm far enough removed to just not give a shit, like, preference-wise. Like, yeah. I want to play everything that's on everything. I don't care. I've been like that for a very long time. So, you know, if someone gave me an Xbox One, like, while I was queuing for my PS4, if some dude was like, yeah, I bought this, I don't want it anymore here, you know, I wouldn't say no. But like, yeah, thanks. But,
well, you mean you wouldn't stop buying the PS4, or you would just carry on and go and get the PS4
yeah,
as well?
I get the PS4 as well. I'm like, cheers for this Xbox, dude. I'll look at this when I can be bothered. Like, you know, it's not a case of I'm... Because, you know, the people, like, you know, the typical internet reaction, like, oh, Xbox is doomed, blah, 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 blah. You know,
no.
No. Like, you know, the Xbox One is still going to sell. Like, don't be crazy. It's just that, you know, Sony do seem to have kind of, I wouldn't say, like, chopped a leg out from Microsoft. They just seem to have helped them do it. Like, Microsoft have done a lot of this themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they I think it might have been in Alex's article that he posted, but I think he summed it up perfectly, paraphrasing a little bit. But he mentioned that, like, Sony had a much better idea of what their audience wanted rather than giving them just whatever they wanted to give them and expecting them to accept it. And that's seemingly what Microsoft have done. It's like, you know, used game, like all this just unnecessary bullshit with, well, not totally unnecessary, but all the stuff with used games, all the stuff with online checks, like all this DRM stuff, like, you know, without ever thinking, you know, wait, maybe we're going a bit too far and we're going to push people away. Like, you know, they just seem to have expected people to be like, yep, we're totally fine with this, you know, and people obviously aren't, so...
Indeed.
Like, people, you know, we're in a stage, like, people bitch about online passes, for fuck's sake. Like, did they really think people weren't going to complain about, like, all their used game stuff and DRM shit? You know,
yeah.
When you have people complaining about a fucking online pass. Like,
no, you're right. Yeah. I think
You know, it's the PS3 thing all over again, where it's like, yeah, this console is going to be £500, and we have no games, but fuck it, we're PlayStation. Like, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
You know, it really is like the PS3 level of arrogance all over again, but now it's Microsoft doing it.
Yeah, it's weird. For me, having only owned an Xbox this generation, I was more invested with Microsoft to begin with, but I was also coming at it from an open standpoint as well. Like, I don't go with Microsoft because I'm a Microsoft fanboy. I go with Microsoft because they presented something more interesting to me with the 360. And I thought, being in that ecosystem, you know, it's kind of easier to just stay with the ecosystem you're with, isn't it? And just keep moving along.
Oh, yeah. I think that's where it's good to not have one, though. I mean, ever since, the PS1 generation for me was pretty much just PlayStation. Like, I had a PS1 and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo 64 didn't really have anything that interested me. And that was kind of like, they were the only real players at that point, you know? What was the, like, most current Sega at that point? Was it the Saturn?
I don't even know. I think so.
I think it was the Saturn, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the Saturn. And I was actually still, like, fucking playing my Mega Drive, like, probably every day at that point, because god damn, the Mega Drive had some good games. You know, like, I was, that kind of was at an age where, like, you know, your parents, like, kind of bought you either a Sega or a Nintendo, you know, a NES or a SNES, so that's kind of what you played. I'm still on the lookout for, like, a in good condition Super Nintendo, so I can actually play it, so I can actually own one of them.
Wait, you don't own a Super Nintendo?
No, I don't.
I do.
I'm trying to remember, the reason I got a Mega Drive was because it was the best deal at the time, and that was just pretty much what was more well known, like, in my area, kind of thing. Like, I don't know, when I was a kid and I had my Mega Drive, not one of my friends had a Super Nintendo. Like, and it was, you know, when you're at that age, that is kind of how it is. Like, you know, it's what your friends have. You know, you go to school and, you know, your friend is playing, like, Altered Beast or something, and it's like, you know, you see them play, it's like, oh, this looks cool, I want one of these. You know, you're kind of ignorant to all the bullshit at that age, which is, you know, cool in a way. But, you know, like, when it got to the PS2 era, I had all three. You know, I had a PS2, I had a GameCube, I had an Xbox. I was the only one in my circle of friends that wasn't affiliated with one system, so it wasn't a case of, oh, have you played whatever? It's like, yeah, because I own all three systems. Like, I don't care one way or the other. Like, I'll play the best version of whatever it is. It would have been the same this generation, except the Wii has nothing bar Geometry Wars that interested me. So, you know, it was always a case of, oh, what's better, PS3 or 360? You know, and it's neither. It's what games do you like to play? Make that decision, and then you have the system for you. So,
yeah.
And I think it's going to be the same this gen. Like, the Wii U doesn't interest me at all. The Xbox One doesn't really seem to have any exclusives I'm going to care about a whole lot. So it's
Halo.
Just by definition, it's going to be the PS4.
Yeah.
You know, unless I think Halo 5 suffers a little bit from me just kind of burning out on multiplayer shooters. Like, I'm really tired of just shooting dudes in the face. It's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to make me put down £500 on a console for it.
No.
So, yeah, like, you know, the PS4 seems to be doing, like, more the kind of games that I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'm going
to do. PS4 is presenting a more appealing option to, you know, gamers still.
Yeah.
Even after Microsoft putting on, like, they didn't put on a weak performance. Like, their press conference was relatively strong. It's just,
I think it's just the bad taste that's still in everybody's mouth about the way they handled it up until this point.
Yeah, I think
you know,
right.
It's, hey, new Xbox, here's all this TV,
yeah,
and here's a Halo TV series. It's like, whoa, what? Like,
yeah,
you know, if they'd have handled it differently, and, you know, it's just where Sony, you know, were evidently really smart in going first. Like, you know, they went first, they didn't show their console, they, you know, they did kind of show all the non-gaming stuff, but they showed gaming stuff as well. You know, they firmly put the ball in Microsoft's court.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty undisputedly, Microsoft dropped the ball, and now Sony get to, like, come back and be like, yo!
We can't forget as well, though, Sony did sneakily, whilst everyone was on a high after those two slides of dropping bombs on Microsoft, say that multiplayer will now be locked behind a paywall.
Yeah, that's I was quite surprised at that, to be honest. I didn't think they'd do that, but at the same time, it doesn't really bother me because I think that's something that, if you have Xbox Live at this point, like you're already used to it. I think the only problem with that is people that have both, like then you are going to be doubling like your yearly subscription to play games online. If you're going to buy both an Xbox One and a PS4, you're now paying double the amount to be able to play online on both systems. So that's going to affect those people. I was one of them up until a point until Xbox Live just ceased to be something I wanted to pay for. So personally, that doesn't annoy me because I'll just have either or, so it's not going to bother me that much. But it is a strange decision because that was one of the like the core things that PlayStation, well, PSN had over Xbox Live. It was you don't have to pay to play games, so changing that is maybe it's just a sign of the times, I guess, really. Like it might get more people to, or maybe it'll piss people off. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be that much of an outcry over it.
No, people don't care anymore. I don't know. Seems silly to me.
And you get a lot more, you get a lot more bonuses with PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, you can't forget all the other stuff you are
Yeah.
getting with PlayStation
You get a
Plus.
lot more.
You get your money's worth regardless of
Yeah,
multiplayer.
with
It's just
Xbox
a
Live
shame
or
that
something,
now
they
you
ain't touch
have
that.
to, like, assuming you didn't have the money for PlayStation Plus, like, you're kind of forced into having to invest into that.
Yeah, and like with I mean, like with Gold Xbox Live, like you're paying solely to play games, and have your dashboard full of ads as well. If you don't want ads, don't have Gold Live, which is really shitty.
They have the Titanfall dude on the GameSpot stage now.
Cool.
Their live stream. So I might go check that out in a bit.
Is that pretty much it for then for day
Yeah,
one?
so that wrapped up day one. That Sony's was the last thing. I mean, today the only thing that's happened is Nintendo had their Nintendo Direct come out. If you like Nintendo, and they didn't really show anything I care about. They opened with Pokemon, which is the only thing I cared about. Pokemon still looks cool. They didn't really show anything
I think I saw
important
a
though.
brief line or like breakdown of that, wasn't it? I think there was a new Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that was what everyone was really excited for, and that's what they saved till last.
I think that is the one thing they don't fucking pound into the fucking dirt, though. Like, there's only
Yeah,
there's if
they do
it,
like one per
yeah,
platform.
they do like one per iteration, don't they? So, that's cool, I guess. Well, I felt like there was more from Nintendo. Maybe not. Maybe that's
Nothing.
all I can remember.
I mean, they talked about the Wind Waker remake in HD on the Wii U. They talked about
So that's not
Bayonetta
even a new
2.
Zelda game.
They showed Bayonetta 2.
I knew it. I knew there was something I was forgetting. Yeah, Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
That is Bayonetta 2, and
In
oh
fact,
yeah.
there's Titanfall gameplay. If you haven't seen it, you should probably be watching this.
Oh.
That's the wrong link. Unsurprisingly,
Oh, okay.
that's the
Why
link
does
to
it
our
have three
podcast.
X's in it, Brad?
What?
What are you
Our
sending me
podcast has
here?
three X's in it, does it?
What are you sending me?
I wish our podcast had three X's in it.
Okay. This got weird all of a sudden. Talking about the Bayonetta 2 trailer.
Oh, you're missing the wall running. You're missing that, and you can double jump. You can double jump. I think
Oh,
you
no.
have jetpacks whilst you're running around.
Yeah, the Bayonetta 2 trailer. I want to talk about that a little bit. I felt pretty underwhelmed after that. I can't put my
Really?
finger on why.
Is it because she's got shorter hair?
No, I'd still fuck the shit out of Bayonetta with short hair. That's not the problem at all. I don't know. It looks a little. I don't know. It just looks a little samey. Like I was like Bayonetta was, absolutely crazy. And I wanted Bayonetta 2 to be like, oh my god, like she's got 10 arm. Like, yeah, I wanted more crazy, and it seems like a similar level of craziness. If that makes sense. Like,
Yeah.
for me, the next logical step for Bayonetta 2 was just like fucking just s in s such craziness that you can't even think about it until you see it, levels of crazy. And this just looks like more Bayonetta, which I'm not complaining about. Like, that's fine. But, you know, I want it to be like, oh my god! Like, yeah. You know, there's crazy shit, and I can't even think about it, because it's so crazy. I need a week to process this, and then we can talk about it. And I didn't get that, you know?
Fair enough.
And I want more details about Bayonetta 2 as well. Like, I kind of want, you know, I want to see, like, how the controller is going to affect it. You know, I want to see what they do. Like, you know, I'm not completely against them doing something with that controller. Like, they could, no doubt, they could probably use it somehow. But yeah, like, kind of gameplay stuff is one thing. Like, I really want to see, like, how it's going to actually function in terms of, like, using the Wii U as its system. Because, like, that's probably never going to come to anything else, like, unless there's a time contract on it, which we don't know about. So,
yeah.
You know, I want to see how that's actually going to be different. So,
fair enough.
On that front, like, it was a little underwhelming. But still, Bayonetta 2. Oh my god. There's another Bayonetta game.
Is that going to make you buy a Wii U?
Oh, I would definitely own a Wii U at some point. There is no fucking way I'm not playing Bayonetta 2. Like, there's just no way. I have to play that game. Like, that is... Like, with the way, like, the DMC reboot went, like, Bayonetta is the closest thing to more Devil May Cry I think we're ever going to get. So, you know, I'm going to play that.
Pardon me. I guess that wraps it up then, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
So that's everything that's happened from E3 so far. We'll have a podcast between now and next Tuesday, hopefully, which will cap up anything else that happens over the remaining 2 days of E3. Well, day now, I guess. Well into day two as it is. Oh, no, we're not. Well into day one. Yeah, there are 2 days left. What am I talking about? I am right, aren't I?
I think so.
Yeah, there's still 2 more days of E3. So yeah, we'll cap that up for our next episode. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions about E3 or anything that happens in the preceding days, be sure to email us, themightyelectronicbox@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @TMEBpodcast. I guess that's it. Say peace, Joe.
Peace, Joe.
Peace, Joe, indeed.